Those boys did a great job, eh? Well, this past Thursday, I had the privilege of attending the North Durham Social Development Council's interagency meeting. That's a mouthful. Up in Beaverton at their new transitional housing facility. This incredible place supports some of the most vulnerable members of our community facing homelessness, mental health challenges, and addiction. Amanda Freer, she's the program manager up there, and she spoke passionately about all the different services that they provide, and it was clear that this facility is making a real difference throughout North Durham with people with real struggles. They're offering hope and care. As a clergy person, I got asked to go, so I went, and basically one representative just asked me to introduce myself, and I just said who I was and what I was doing, and I'm part of the St. Andrew's Chalmers, and the food bank is connected to our church, and I just thanked them for all of the different work that each of the agencies did, and then she was just so overjoyed. She asked if our church would host their next meeting in March. So I haven't been approved by the session, but I'm putting it out here for all of you. So, session, I hope you let me do this. But it's just the genuine joy that I think they received from me thanking them and just appreciating the work that they were doing. It made all the difference. And it warmed my heart knowing that in the midst of struggle, particularly this time of year when it's so cold, that people can go through the process of getting free from addiction or just getting back on their feet again. So all 48 beds, there's four beds left, so they just opened up and now they're gonna be pretty much full probably by the end of the year. There's a lot of work that I think needs to happen going forward. But it just reflects the joy in the midst of struggle. And our message from Isaiah 12 and Philippians 4 declares that God is our salvation, our strength, and our joy. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, even in the face of difficulties, when love, hope, and support are extended. God's joy becomes real and present in our lives. Well, in our passage from Isaiah, God is actually, he's not pleased with his people. So in Isaiah's time, the prophet, just before we read in this chapter, he talks about Israel being a light to the nations. And they've kind of fallen down in this regard. So you've got this nation that's been blessed by God, and they're kind of slowing things down. God's goodness is for all people, and yet what they are doing is they're actually oppressing the vulnerable. They're mistreating the needy. They have forgotten that their joy that they received through salvation is a joy that makes them close to God and close to the people around them. So God's people, they were once oppressed. They were once vulnerable. They remember in Egypt, and the big bad Pharaoh is oppressing the people. He's like slave labor, making them work hard. So God delivers them out from the Pharaoh, and they've gone to the promised land. And now it's like they're doing the very thing that Egypt and the Pharaoh was doing to them. And they're like, come on, guys, what are you doing? And God's people were this oppressed group, and now they're doing the very thing that God delivered them from. They had lost sight of God's power and joy to save in their lives, and their joy is like down. They're not feeling it. Anybody sometimes not feel it? Well, similarly, in Philippians, the Apostle Paul, he's writing from prison. He's in a Roman prison cell, and he wants to write the Philippians to encourage them because guess what? Guess what's happening in Philippi? There's two women and they're bickering. Do women ever bicker? No, never. But these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, their tension is robbing the community of joy. It can happen. It can happen in our families. It's distracting them from their mission. And so today, we live in a world where our joy gets stolen a lot, right? That's bad grammar, but our joy gets stolen from us quite a bit. We live in a time of increasing tension politically, socially, and religious. There's a religious tension around the world. Sometimes we can be quick to take offense, right? And then somebody does something, and then that's it. They're cut off. No more. I'm done. We don't reconcile very easily. As we approach Christmas, many of us brace for the family gathering. Right? That person's going to be there. Oh my gosh. Some of us are biting our lips so hard that they're bleeding. Are we going to say something we regret? Merriam-Webster's dictionary's word of the year is polarization. No surprise. Between these interpersonal struggles, we have real worries. The economic challenges are just incredible right now. In the GTA, the living wage, so in order to rent and pay for food and get the kids to hockey, whatever, is $26 an hour. Yet the minimum wage is $17.20 an hour. So just the math isn't working. Things don't add up. It's why food banks are busier than ever, serving people who are working full-time, yet they're still being maxed out. Many people carry real burdens that make gratitude and joy just feel out of reach. But into this tension and worry, the good news of the gospel is that God is our salvation. God is our joy. Isaiah reminds us that God is their strength, the people's strength. God is their confidence. God is their song. God will deliver. If God is for you, who can be against you? I'll say it again. When the Lord is for you, who can be against you? When the Lord is our strength, it means that God is not only our resource, but God is our refuge too. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. As Protestant reformer John Calvin once wrote, he is not merely God, a part or an aid of our strength, but our complete strength. It's like you bet the farm on it. God is going to come through. It's time to go all in, basically, is what Calvin is saying. That's the Sean Estop translation, but I could be wrong. When God becomes the song of our life, when God becomes the focus, joy follows. We get caught up in something that's bigger than ourselves. It's like the wind in our sails that's propelling us forward. And we have this hope that's moving us forward no matter what. And it feels like we can kind of fly for the first time when we let go of the reins. It doesn't mean that it'll shield us from suffering. Paul's literally writing from a Roman prison cell. Paul's chained in prison, and he urges the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, he says. Rejoice, I'll say it again, rejoice. He has every reason to embrace the anxiety that he feels. He has every reason to embrace the worry. Every reason to not be a person of joy. Yet this is what he writes elsewhere. He says, I've suffered so much, far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I've received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, lest one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and in thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Despite all the hardships, Paul tells the Philippians, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say, rejoice. I think God's word to us is like, let it go. You don't have to be in control of everything. Let go of the tensions. Let go of the worry. Park the anxiety and cling to the joy of the Lord. It's like baptism. It's a gift. It's grace. It's yours. Take hold of it. Japanese author Mary Kondo, she has this illustrated book, and I was all excited to put some of this in practice. I've got this garage that needs to be cleaned out, and then I broke my finger in it. I can't lift anything. But she wrote this best-selling author book. It's helping people get rid of unneeded things in their homes and closets and garages that weigh them down. She says, hold up each item. Does it spark joy? And if not, you know, you can pitch it. Now, I'm not on this TV show Hoarders, but it's getting pretty close to it. Does it spark joy? And if the answer is yes, keep it. If the answer is no, then give it away. So looking forward to that. Paul, despite his hardships, learned what it meant to live a new life of joy. Free from cluttered anxiety, even though he was in prison. Free from worry and tension. Like Marie Kondo, who teaches people to declutter their homes by saying, "Does this spark joy?" Paul invites us to guard our thoughts. You know, if it comes in and it's like, that person is, you know, it's like, whoa, is this going to lead to joy? Because that's hard to do, to guard your thoughts, to dwell on what is good in our lives. Because if we let go and let God, peace and joy follow. Remember in the Grinch Who Stole Christmas? Blair's got a nice little picture of the Grinch. He's so happy there. But right up until this point, the smile was going the opposite way. And he stole all of their presents. And he was looking at them like, I've got them. I'm going to take their joy. I've got it. And yet all of a sudden, he's strangely warmed. And the frown kind of goes up. What does your mom say? Turn that frown upside down, right? And that's what happens to the Grinch. And he sees all of the people and they're enjoying themselves and they've got joy. They've got no presents. That's a bummer. And yet they're enjoying themselves and they're enjoying one another. It's awesome. It you know, the kindness breaks through the Grinch's defenses. I try to do this early in the new year, like put up Christmas lights, because I'm so grouchy around this time of year. I don't know what it is, but as Christians, we experience this joy when we remember God's saving and redeeming word. God has got this. It's going to work out. You don't have to put on the worry. You don't have to clothe yourself in the anxiety. We experience this joy when we experience God's strength, his sacrificial love. This gives us joy, like helping out at a Christmas dinner. It will fill your tank, trust me. We don't have to be pulled in every direction. We don't have to solve, guys, every single problem that comes our way. You don't have to enter into that argument. You don't have to be right. You don't have to retaliate. This is tough. I've got a finger to show for it. No, it was actually putting away snow tires. But we don't have to fight all our battles. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Day by day, we can experience the peace and joy as we practice gratitude and pray for dark situations. Pray for that person that's annoying us. This is the way that it was meant to be. C.S. Lewis, finally, he captured this eloquently in the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, his book, in which little Lucy, she stumbles through the back of a wardrobe into this imaginary world in Narnia. And although it's summer in England, when the White Witch has her way, it's always winter. Like, you want summer to be here, and it's like winter 24/7 in Narnia. And so little Lucy meets a fawn named Mr. Tumnus, who tells her that under the White Witch rule, it's not getting any better. It's always winter, never Christmas. What an image of a world without joy. It's always, always winter. Always winter and never Christmas. When Aslan, the lion, comes, the Christ figure arrives, the ice begins to melt, and hope and joy return to Narnia, and it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like summer has finally come. Friends, God is our joy. Would we live it, share it, and cherish it, even in these difficult times? Let's be a beacon of hope to others. Let's trust that God is still at work. All praise and glory to the good God of all creation, the giver of joy. Amen.